Good morning, early birds. You've caught the weekend worm, a special edition that recaps the top stories of the week. A heads up on what the newsroom is following for the upcoming week. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It's the third week of February, 2026, Saturday and Sunday, February 14th and 15th, Valentine's Day, and Monday is President's Day, the 16th, and of course, Tuesday is Mardi Gras. What a weekend! Looks like, for the most part, across Montana for Saturday and Sunday, days are going to be mostly sunny, partly cloudy, and temps in the upper 40s, overnight dropping down into the low 30s. Temps climbing up to around 50 both Saturday and Sunday under partly cloudy and sunny conditions across most of the region. Overnight lows expected in the upper 20s across most of the region and cloudy skies. Monday continues a pretty nice day, highs in the 50s, lows overnight down around 30. Mostly sunny conditions on Monday. That changes overnight Monday. Our high Tuesday might reach 40, overnight lows in the teens, and rain and snow showers across much of the area. Well, the weather continues to be in the news this week, as our warm, balmy weekend gives way to some snow early in this coming week. Forecasters can't be certain that we won't get a return to some of this warm weather every now and then before the spring finally gets here and it's more temperate. According to a recent report issued by the Department of Natural Resources and Conservation, Montana's snowpack sits below average for this time of year. Montana Public Radio's Eleanor Smith filed this story.
Montana's snowpack is light for this time of year after a dry and unseasonably warm January. According to a report released Thursday, snowpack in the mid to low elevations is below average. Lower elevations have been hit the hardest. Conditions improve higher up, but only two mountain basins hold the median snow water equivalent, which is a measure of the amount of water contained in snowpack. Most snowpack monitoring stations are seeing a deficit anywhere between 1 and 5 inches below the median. The snow that is there is also far denser than normal because of January's warmer weather. Montana doesn't reach its peak snowpack until late spring. Experts say conditions at that point will impact summer stream flow far more than this month's preliminary snapshot. Reporting from Missoula, I'm Eleanor Smith.
And amid this dry winter, many ski towns in Wyoming aren't seeing their typical flood of visitors. As Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Mersbach reports, there are fears that the downturn could continue into the summer.
Across the West, the amount of water stored in snow is at its lowest winter point in decades, according to federal data. So there could be less water in rivers and reservoirs come summer, which could be bad for mountain towns where economies rely on water activities.
Rafting, fishing, sailing, water skiing.
Margaret Bowes leads the Colorado Association of Ski Towns, which also includes communities in Idaho, Utah, and Wyoming.
As thirsty metro areas pull water from some of our mountain reservoirs, that's less water for recreation.
Many tourism-dependent areas are already struggling amid the snow drought. Bowes says towns may need to find new activities in the winter and summer if the trend continues. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Mersbach.
The latest snow melt forecast for the Bighorn River Basin in north-central Wyoming is not as optimistic as it was last month. The Bureau of Reclamation's forecast for April through July has only one basin at 100% of the 30-year average for runoff and one barely above 50%. The lowest forecast is for Bighorn Lake at 56%, down from 105% last month. Boisen Reservoir is down to 82%, Bull Lake Reservoir has dropped to 97%, while Buffalo Bill Reservoir is 100%, which is a drop from 120% last month. BOR storage reservoirs in the basin have a combined storage capacity of more than 2.5 million acre-feet. Most of that capacity is attributed to Bull Lake, Boisen, and Buffalo Bill Reservoirs in Wyoming, and Bighorn Lake in Montana. The Bighorn Basin is approximately 100 miles wide, bounded by the Absaroka Range on the west, the Pryor Mountains on the north, the Bighorn Mountains on the east, and the Wind River and Granite Mountains on the south. It is a whopper of a holiday we're slamming into. Valentine's Day, followed by President's Day on Monday. And if you're a practicing Christian or just a really consummate partier, You'll be fueling up for Lent with Mardi Gras festivities on Tuesday. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, St. Valentine's Day is an acknowledgement on the Day of Love, first in A.D. 496. Pope Galatius, who declared February 14th to commemorate St. Valentine. Fast forward to consumerism and celebration, and Esther Howland of Massachusetts is given credit for selling the first mass-produced Valentine's Day cards in the 1840s. So we're almost two centuries deep in that measurement. That's love. If you're out on that last-minute quest to find gifts for your Valentine's Saturday, in the most recent U.S. Census data, there were about, 20,000 jewelry stores, 12,000 flower shops, 3,000 candy and nut stores, and about 1,000 chocolate makers and 600 non-chocolate candy makers. Plenty of fodder for Valentine's Day. As for flowers, $259 million were dropped for imports of all bouquet-cut flowers in February of 2025. About $147 million of that was for fresh-cut roses and buds. And as for that Valentine date, screens across the country are running the new version of Emily Bronte's classic romantic novel, Wuthering Heights. Here in Billings, there are three showings Saturday at the Art House. Monday is a federal and state holiday as the country redirects that love toward the celebration of Presidents Washington and Lincoln's birthdays. Montana Shakespeare in the Parks invites the community to attend a free performance of the spring Montana Shakes program, Good in Everything, an original play based on As You Like It and directed by Matt Foss. According to MSIP's website, Good in Everything is a comical and high-octane adventure of two best friends, Rosalind and Celia. Created for grades K through 6, families are encouraged to share this live theatrical experience. The performance takes place at 1 o'clock at Christus Collegium on 8th Avenue in Bozeman. That's Monday. Doors will open at 12:45. Seating is first come, first serve. The performance is 45 minutes long. It'll be followed by a post-show talkback with the actors. For more information on this, visit shakespeareintheparks.org. Residents of Park County, Montana have a chance next week to check out local community service organizations and what they provide. It's called Park County RAD, or Resource Access Day, and it's Tuesday, the 17th of February, 11 to 1, at the Livingston Park County Public Library. The event is sponsored by the Park City County Health Department. A news release from Park County says staff from community service organizations like HRDC, WIC, the Early Childhood Coalition, Livingston Food Resource Center, and Loaves and Fishes, a nonprofit food kitchen, will be there to explain their work and offer assistance. And if you are lucky enough to live in a state that celebrates the pre-Lenten carnival, Tuesday is a day of revelry, followed by Ash Wednesday, a day of reverence. However you find a path to joy this weekend, there's certainly a variety of choices to be in a good mood. Laissez le bon temps brûler. Health and health care are issues that are consistently in the news these days. A survey in Montana's most populous county shows a need for more resources around mental health, exercise, and substance use. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche filed this report this week.
Public health and medical centers in Yellowstone County published the Community Health Needs Assessment this month. The community health group, Healthy by Design, helps facilitate a survey every 3 years. Amanda Zimmerman-Murter with Healthy by Design says the data and community-level responses collected in the assessment then inform a countywide health improvement plan.
The social drivers of health, physical activity, nutrition, weight, mental health, and substance use were all ranked highly, both in severity and our ability to impact together.
Results show Yellowstone County and the state exceed the national average in deaths linked to alcohol. Suicide mortality in Yellowstone County is a little below the statewide average, which is double that of the national average. And the rate of depression in the county tops both the statewide and nationwide numbers. Zimmerman-Murter says members of the medical sector will meet over the next few months to pinpoint strategies for acting on the priorities the assessment identifies. In Billings, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
Recent data shows about 4,000 fewer Montanans purchased an Affordable Care Act health plan. That's roughly a 5% decline. That decline is attributed to the loss of federal subsidies for monthly premiums. But Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports more people are expected to drop coverage.
Monthly premiums will be higher for many on ACA plans this year, even double in some cases. That's because Congress didn't renew enhanced federal subsidies. Catherine Hempstead with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation expects enrollment numbers will decline even further. She says some may never pay their first monthly premium because they simply can't afford it and lose coverage.
We'll see other people maybe more mindfully saying, well, I can keep this coverage going until March or something, and then I'm going to have to drop it.
Hempstead and other policy experts say data from states that run their own insurance marketplaces are already reporting declines from initial enrollment figures. More data on enrollment and the types of plans Montanans selected is expected later this spring. In Columbia Falls, I'm Aaron Bolton.
If you purchased an ACA plan or decided to drop coverage because of premium costs, Montana Public Radio would like to hear from you. You can find a link to reach out along with this story at mtpr.org. And February is American Heart Month, and a heart transplant recipient wants to spread awareness of a critically misunderstood condition. Laura Hatch of Big Sky Connection reports.
Lisa Salberg founded the Hypertrophic Cardiomyopathy Association, a nonprofit that supports and educates the community about the disorder. Hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, or HCM, causes the walls of the heart to thicken, leading to heart stiffness and less room for blood to fill it. The heart has to work harder to pump blood, causing symptoms such as fatigue, a fast heartbeat, or chest pain. Salberg says only 15 to 20% of people with HCM in the U.S. know they have it.
They might think they have athletically induced asthma. They might have been told they just have an innocent heart murmur. They might just think they're short of breath because they're getting older, or that palpitation was a little too much caffeine.
Salberg estimates HCM affects anywhere from 1 in 200 to 1 in 500 people and is genetic. She encourages people to look back at their family tree to find cardiac diagnoses or symptoms that might have been HCM. That can help you and your family members know if you should be tested. Nearly 9% of people in Montana have been diagnosed with some kind of heart condition. I'm Laura Hatch reporting.
In 2024, just over 37% of Wyoming workers between 25 and 64 years old had a college degree or professional certificate and earned more than their peers with a high school diploma. Eric Galatas with Wyoming News Service has more.
That's nearly 6 percentage points lower than the national average, according to Lumina Foundation's new A Stronger Nation report. Courtney Brown with the foundation says the report is not just about numbers or charts. It's an opportunity for policymakers and educators to create pathways for people to get the education and skills they need to succeed.
When more people can access and succeed in earning credentials of value, communities benefit, the economy grows, and more people are on a path to a good job and a good life.
Wyoming ranks 46th among the 50 U.S. states, Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico for workers earning at least 15% above a high school graduate's median paycheck. More Wyomingites with a bachelor's degree are meeting this benchmark than those with associate's degrees. In 2024, just over 53% of Wyoming's workforce had some post-secondary education, up from 18% in 2009. I'm Eric Galatas.
Montana trails the nation in the number of workers getting college degrees or credentials that pay off. Laura Hatch with Big Sky Connection reports.
A new Lumina Foundation report shows nearly 41% of Montanans in the workforce have post-secondary degrees or credentials with long-term economic value. The national average is 43.6%. Those stats are from the Foundation's latest update, called A Stronger Nation. Jeff Stroll, who heads Georgetown University's Center on Education and the Workforce, says those numbers have gone up 7 to 8% over the last decade. He says that's projected to bring more than $14 trillion into the U.S. economy.
We have both the economic side of the house, which is really, you know, wages are linked with productivity, so it's really enhancing the strength and vitality of the economy and impacting people's well-being.
Lumina Foundation works to increase the number of people earning degrees or credentials that can lead to higher wages. Lumina has set a new goal that 75% of the U.S. labor force gets a post-high school credential of value by 2040. That includes a college degree, associate degree, or certification. To be of value, the foundation says it must lead to earnings at least 15% higher than those of a median high school graduate. I'm Laura Hatch, reporting.
A new football era has begun at the University of Montana as Bobby Kennedy was introduced as the 38th head coach for the Grizzlies, replacing Bobby Hauck. Hauck announced he was retiring as the Grizzlies' head man a couple of weeks back, and last week he announced he had a new job, headed to Champaign, Illinois, as University of Illinois' defensive coordinator. That was according to Illini head coach Brett Bielema. Montana linebacker Solomon Taliapupu was granted a ninth year of eligibility by the NCAA. He'll return in 2026 alongside sixth-year offensive lineman Dylan Jemtegard. The school announced Taliapupu's return on Monday in a post on X. He was sidelined for his entire undergraduate campaign at USC after two surgery-requiring injuries impacting his foot and knee. Taliapupu's first year at Montana in 2025 was just his second full season in 8 years. He will play under new Montana coach Bobby Kennedy, who is succeeding Bobby Hauck. And on the other side of the world, freestyle skier Jalen Kauf of Alta won her second silver medal this week in women's moguls. Kauf, who grew up skiing at Grand Targhee Resort, is the reigning silver medalist from the 2022 Beijing Games. The 29-year-old had to come back from 24th place earlier this week after losing control of her skis in a qualifying round. But Wednesday morning in Italy, she stood on the podium with teammate Elizabeth Lemley of Vail, Colorado, who won gold. After Breezy Johnson's win in women's downhill on Sunday, Jackson Hole athletes have now two medals. Kauf has another shot at a medal in dual moguls on Valentine's Day. Handle with care, that's the message from Jackson, Wyoming's own gold medalist Breezy Johnson at the Milan Cortina Winter Olympics, after she and other athletes found their medals broke within hours. Olympic organizers are investigating with maximum attention after a spat of medals falling off the ribbons during celebrations on the opening weekend of the Games. Johnson is advising athletes to not jump while wearing their medals. U.S. figure skater Elisa Liu says her gold medal don't need the ribbon. Johnson, the Teton County native, was the sixth racer down the women's downhill course on Sunday, reaching speeds of over 70 miles an hour as she crossed the finish line in just over 1 minute 36 seconds. Her performance earned her a spot with U.S. team member Michaela Schifrin in the team combined event. And finally, Olympic downhill champion and Jackson, Wyoming's Breezy Johnson leaves the women's Super G without a medal but with an engagement ring. Connor Watkins, Johnson's longtime boyfriend, proposed to her near the finish area after the race. Johnson and Watkins hugged after she happily said yes. Johnson then flashed her ring, a blue sapphire, surrounded by white sapphires set in gold. The proposal came not long after Johnson crashed near the top of the Super G course. She escaped the incident unharmed. Stories we're continuing to follow include: Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon delivered the State of the State address to a joint session of the Wyoming legislature this week. As Wyoming Public Radio's Chris Clements reports, Gordon asked lawmakers to reconsider one committee's big cuts to the budget.
Gordon told a bustling room full to the gills with lawmakers that Wyoming's economy is, quote, hardy, more diverse, and better prepared to capitalize on the multiple opportunities now facing our state. But to continue that, he implored lawmakers to restore funding that was recently axed by the Joint Appropriations Committee.
I asked the legislature to reinstate my request for this technology upgrade, which is why I'm asking you to restore my recommendation for the summer feeding program. Simply cutting a budget won't lead to improvement, but a dialogue could. I encourage you to restore my recommendation.
Gordon's address was followed by Chief Supreme Court Justice Lynn Baumgarten, who decried, quote, rhetoric suggesting retaliation or defunding of courts because of the outcome in one high-profile case. That's an apparent reference to the High Court's decision to block two near-total abortion bans last month. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Chris Clements in Cheyenne.
And as the Trump administration continues to shake up the country and world's economy, cattle industry representatives say they need more workers. Montana Public Radio's Victoria Traxler reports on how amending one foreign labor program might help.
The H-2A visa program allows foreign nationals to fill agricultural jobs in the U.S. for up to a year. Finding adequate farm labor is one of the biggest challenges producers face. This year, about 400 Montana producers requested workers from the H-2A program. Montana Stock Growers Association recently called on federal lawmakers to expand it. They hope to amend the program to include livestock auction markets and feedlots as host for the workers. Montana Stock Growers Executive Turk Stovall.
And the rule changing that we wanted to really bring to the forefront is there are businesses other than just your traditional farms and ranches that really need help from a labor standpoint.
Stovall says the program has grown more vital as the domestic labor supply continues to sputter.
If you're at the point of needing to hire foreign labor, you have exhausted every opportunity there is.
Other changes to the H-2A program are being considered, including changes to wage rates. Stovall believes the rule amendments will help keep operations involved in beef production up and running. In Missoula, I'm Victoria Traxler.
More than 500 Cisco drivers and warehouse workers in Montana and Chicago, jointly represented by five Teamsters locals, have voted by a 99.5% margin to authorize a strike. The workers are demanding wage increases, stronger benefits, and improved working conditions that meet or exceed the standards already set by thousands of Teamsters across the company. Cisco is one of the largest and most profitable food service providers in the U.S. In 2025, the company posted net profits of nearly $2 billion. Cisco Teamsters in Chicago and Montana are demanding a contract that reflects their critical role in the company's success and Cisco's strong financial position. Sean Krebs is a member of Montana Teamster Local 190 and a warehouse worker. He said, "We're asking for a fair and reasonable contract that reflects the massive profits this company generates every year because of our labor." Over the past year, Cisco Teamsters have secured a series of strong agreements, including the first ever regional contract ratified in December. That's the Weekend Worm for this third week of February 2026. We'll have another episode of The Worm Tuesday, and we'll keep the weekend editions coming too. I'm Carl Lengel. Have a great weekend.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.